Okay, awesome. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Liz. So doing this.
Welcome to the Walnut Women Live.
Thanks.
thanks for joining me again.
Yeah.
We are going to be celebrating another big celebration this upcoming weekend. So I thought it would be really fitting if we can hear from some of our church members, servants, and leaders about what the resurrection means to them.
Nice.
I'm hosting you, so I get to ask all my questions.
Okay.
And
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll be
first,
a good guest this time. I won't give you any of the, I won't throw any questions back at you.
All right. Okay, cool. So actually, yesterday I had this really spontaneous idea because you are a teacher and preacher, and you are also an artist and a songwriter. I thought it would be awesome. Oh, hold on. You're frozen. Let me see. Oh. Okay, let's do this again. Okay, I gotta invite you again. Okay.
I'm back. I don't know what happened.
Did you hear what I said?
Something about songwriting.
Okay. I had this great idea because you are like a teacher and you preach at our church. You also lead music and you write your own songs. I thought it would be amazing if we can take a well-known Easter hymn and kind of like rewrite it on the spot.
Okay.
But
I don't know if I can do that.
no, it's easy, don't worry.
Okay.
So the song is Because He Lives. What follows is the statement, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, another benefit is all fear is gone.
Right.
Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth living just because He lives.
Right.
So basically, what are some other implications and benefits and spiritual realities that we have as believers because He lives? So I'll start. Because He lives, I can face hardships with God's grace. All right.
I
Your turn.
agree with that. Oh,
Yeah,
so
yeah. So,
am I like adding on
yeah,
to
just
it?
give me a line. Because He lives, because Jesus
Is
lives.
this like the questions that you sent me?
No,
Is
it's not.
this like
No,
okay,
it's
so
not.
this is just an exercise that we're
This is
doing on our
just an opening because I thought you can feed us some new lyrics for this song.
Oh man, that's hard. That is hard because it needs to rhyme, it needs to have the
No,
same
no, 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 no.
meter.
Just like what are the implications of Jesus's resurrection and new life and the fact that He is alive? Like the song only gave us like two lines. He told us we can face tomorrow and like all fear is gone. So what are the other spiritual implications we could take because Jesus lives?
Because Jesus lives, everything that Jesus promised to us is true.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand that,
Yes.
but I don't know,
Yes,
I guess.
yes. Okay, I'll go again. Because He lives, we can take our suffering and know it'll lead to glory.
Yes, that's true. That's
Okay.
true. I think that's true. I don't know, I'm like on the spot.
Okay.
Oh, is it my turn again? Oh, okay.
Yeah, one more.
Because Jesus lives, then we can also live. There's life after death,
Yes.
in heaven. In heaven, everybody has
Yes.
life after death, but we have life in heaven after
Yes.
death.
Yes.
Yeah.
The good implication of the resurrection. All right, so that was just to break the ice.
Okay, that was fun. Thanks.
Okay. All right, so we're going on to talk about how the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts us spiritually, or how it impacts us as we live on this earth. So I want to ask you on the lines of priorities. What are your priorities now as a, in this life stage, being a dad of three, married, living in Walnut. What are your priorities, and has that resurrection of Christ impacted what they are?
Okay, let me think about this. Well, my priorities, I think, are, I don't know, I guess biblically to God, I guess first, I don't know, being a Christian, and then being a husband, I guess, and then being a father. I guess if I had to like prioritize everything, that would be like my priorities. But I think what you're asking with the question is how does the resurrection impact my priorities? Is that kind of more what you're asking, I guess?
Yes. Yeah, so those are your priorities, and is that like a result of your biblical convictions, or does it change the way you view like how you should invest your time and your resources?
Yeah. So I think what I listed is more a result of just being a Christian, I think.
Okay.
So I mean, that includes the resurrection, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're gonna like really pinpoint specifically like how the resurrection impacts, I guess, how I live my life, priorities, like what I focus on, then
yeah.
I think it does make me more kingdom minded, kingdom oriented, and I think less, I don't know, I don't want to say concerned, but maybe more concerned about God's priorities and God's kingdom. Let me try to explain, because with the resurrection, right, we believe that I kind of said this, everything that Jesus says is true. And Jesus really is the Son of God, right? And so if that's for reals, and we believe that he's going to come again, and we believe that there's life after death, and people need to know about Jesus, that affects everything that I do, you know? And so I think that's why I would list those in priority, because, God obviously needs to take first place in my life at that point. Everything is to fall in line under God and his prerogatives, I guess. I don't know. Let me give you a practical example.
Oh, no. Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
I guess a more practical example is that like the resurrection also means that you and I are going to live again after this life. And so I think a lot of times people might say that like, okay, this is like all we have and we have to make the most of it. And I think that's true in one sense, right? Where, yeah, we need to make the most of the time because Jesus is coming back again and people need to know about him. But in another sense, I don't think it means that like, oh, I need to like enjoy everything that this life has to possibly offer me, because I don't believe that this life is the end. I think that there's an infinite amount of time in heaven to be with God and enjoy things that are going to be way better than anything this world has. So I think that shapes a lot of the way I prioritize things here. Let me give you another example. I think that for my family and specifically, right, I think that the resurrection means that, these relationships that we have on earth actually matter, because of the fact that people need to know about Jesus. And so, I think that for me and my family, we decided that, yeah, we're going to adopt as a means to evangelize, because I think evangelism now has a very urgent priority. And, I think that adoption is actually a way to evangelize. And so that was one of the reasons why that was important to us. And it was a priority for us to actually adopt. And you know our story. We adopted like first, that was like our first child. Yeah. And so I would definitely say that the resurrection impacted that choice.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
So basically you're talking about like how it changes your earthly mindset and gives you insight into the eternal perspective and the after, when we get to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. And I think that's a really important perspective to have, because that does impact everything you do now on earth. And then I think you kind of talked about like living for today's pleasures versus the pleasures that we'll get to enjoy in heaven, which will be spiritual, and it will be encompassed of you know, the fellowship we get to share with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ. And yeah, it sounds like you've taken up the call, the discipleship call, seriously.
Okay, thanks. I think
I just want to know, because Aaron, like, you do serve in so many various types of ministries and capacities. Is that like a way for you to express your kingdom-minded priorities through service?
Yeah. I'd say so. I guess I gave you more like personal life examples, but yeah. If I'm going to give you like more ministry examples, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, I'm just like one guy, right? But like, I don't know. I do believe that like God gifts all of us and has us steward individual gifts. And I don't know. I just encourage everybody to just try different things and just see what works. You know, I think Walnut Woman podcast is a way that you steward the gifts and talents that God has given you, and finding ways to, I think, impact the kingdom.
Yeah.
I think that it places a priority on our ministry endeavors, you know, like, yeah. I think that there is a way to do ministry where you can look for like short-term gains and goals, but I don't know. I do want to think that I like look towards the long-term goals and like, okay, how can this impact later down the line? You know, I think that's one thing about media ministry, you know, is that these videos will be there later to consume, you know? I mean, even if it's a small amount, I mean, they're still there for us, you know, and for me personally, they just help, having it there online helps me just remember what we actually did.
I see.
Yeah.
I appreciate your effort to invest spiritually. I think you're making great spiritual investments, and the giftedness and like the abilities, I think God just really asks for faithfulness. You don't have to be great at it, just if you desire it or you can do it, just be faithful with it.
I agree. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
All right, let's move on with another question.
Okay.
So this is an interesting question. Does the resurrection of Christ help you love people who can be difficult? Does it help you in your relationships?
Yeah. Okay, so when you first sent me this question, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting, right? Like,
I know,
Where is this coming from? How am I supposed to read this? But, you know, honestly, the first thing that I thought was like, you know, I'm the difficult person, you know? And so I think that, yes, the answer has to be yes, because Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. And the Bible's very clear that Jesus didn't come to save perfect people or easy people, you know, for his kingdom, but Christ came to save sinners, you know, of whom I am the foremost. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And I think we can just say Christ died to save difficult people, you know, like I think that's a good way to put it. And I think the answer is yes. Yeah. So if I believe that Jesus died and rose again, and he secured salvation for me, and he secured a relationship with God and himself and the Holy Spirit for me, then I have to believe and set in my own heart that I need to love, relate to, restore broken relationships with difficult people, you know, because that's what God did for me, you know, and I would hope that that's what other Christians would do for me as well, too, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that you brought up those verses. And basically, when he came into the world, you reiterated that he came not to condemn us, but to come and save us. And so a form of like us condemning others would be like judging them when we see them. And I think like our call now as believers is to respond the way that Christ has responded to us, because we were difficult. We weren't his enemies. We wronged him and offended him. So Yeah. And so how does that lead you to reconcile broken relationships or hurt that you've experienced from people? That's something that's very common. We all experience hurt, whether purposeful or inadvertent hurt.
I mean, I agree with everything that you said, and you're absolutely right that the Bible says that we were enemies with God, right? And so we're not even just talking about like being friends with people, right? We're just talking about like reconciling relationships with our enemies.
Right.
And so I think it means that we need to put in the effort. You know, I think it means that we need to extend the olive branch, you know, of offering peace. I think to follow Jesus's example, it means that we need to take the initiative sometimes, you know, even though it might hurt. That doesn't necessarily mean, I don't think that we have the ability like Jesus to like to restore everything perfectly, right? But because we're sinners too, but we need to make the attempt, I think, and at least have the mindset of like, okay, I want to make things right again. At least that's what I tell my kids. You know, I say, hey, we need to make things right. You know, there needs to be a certain mindset where, hey, to move on and not acknowledge this, or to try to move forward without fixing it would be wrong. You know, and we need to make things right with our relationships. I think it means being forgiving towards people, even if they don't ask for forgiveness. I think it means that we need to have the heart of forgiveness, you know. I think it means that we need to overlook offenses. And I'm saying this as somebody who needs to take my own advice. Okay, I'm not like saying this from a lofty position. I'm saying, yeah, like I think it means we need to overlook offenses. I think it means that we need to be patient and kind, slow to anger, right? I mean, I think all these things that I'm not, you know, I think it definitely means all of these things.
No, that's very good. Now, would you say that those desires and that command would apply for just family members, people within your own local church body, or even in the work environment, or is it in a certain context that you think it is encouraged in which it can be applied?
No, I think it needs to be applied everywhere. I'm gonna eat my own words later, but I think it needs to be applied everywhere. You know,
No, that's good. So you feel like this is the biblical conviction and exhortation for us to reconcile and forgive and to make new.
Okay, so I want to say two things. First thing is that, like, sometimes I actually think it's harder for us to reconcile with those who are closer to us. Because, let me give you an example. Like, for me and Jess, like, I can just be like, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna ignore this and just kind of ignore the problem, you know? Whereas, like, maybe at like church or like work, you can't ignore stuff sometimes, right? If you want to move forward, you gotta move on. But I could easily just be like, oh, okay, Jess, I'm just gonna step away for a little while or a long while, you know? And I'm not saying that's right, you know? I'm not saying that's right at all. Sometimes it's harder to reconcile the way Jesus does with those who are closer to you. And then the other thing I wanted to say was that, like, you know, I do see the resurrection as also like Jesus was like literally dead, you know? And sometimes we have relationships that are literally dead or dying, you know? And sometimes that's our own doing, sometimes that's a both parties kind of doing. But if Jesus can come back to life again to restore the relationships, I actually believe that it means that relationships can also be resurrected too. You know, I don't think relationships need to stay buried. I think stuff can come out and find new life again. And I'm not saying that it's going to be perfect, right? But I do think God can make all things new, and that includes our broken, messed up, dead relationships.
Oh, that's so good. I'm feeling so hopeful right now.
Oh, well, I'd hope so, right? Without the resurrection, then we're people to be despised, right? We have no hope at that point. So, yeah, I really did think about all these questions that you sent. You know, the resurrection does have I think, relevance and can leave an impact in on all aspects of our lives.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing those insights. I just want to let everyone know that I sent Aaron a list of questions, and those are the ones that he specifically said he would answer too. So
Yeah, they caught my attention.
I was very curious what you would share because, you know, there was all kinds of things you could have talked about, but you chose those topics. So, yeah, again, I appreciate it. I think these are good discussions to have. How is the resurrection changing us? How is it changing every aspect of our life? And how God can rebuild us and make us new creatures and make or take our brokenness and turn it into something beautiful for his glory. So yeah, I just love talking about this. And thank you. Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to share?
No, I just wanted to say that, like, thanks for the thoughtful questions. I think I when I do questions like in Sunday school class or whatever, I try to make it like personal too, and not just like theological or like intellectual
Yeah.
concepts. But I think that because you presented these questions to me, I was like, okay, do I believe this stuff and where do I apply it or where do I need to apply it in my life? And so,
Yeah.
looking over the questions was helpful for me, and I enjoy our conversations, Les. I'm happy to talk about this. I think yeah, it's refreshing. We don't
Oh.
talk about the resurrection of Jesus nearly as much
Yeah.
as we need to.
Yeah.
I was thinking recently, like just with like bad news or just like with like trials and stuff. I was trying to think like, okay, well, let's say you have this, thing in front of you, does the fact that Jesus conquered death and rose from the grave again, like, is that still good news to me?
Yeah.
And does that trump anything else that like
Yeah.
can be presented in front of me?
Right.
And so yeah, just to keep repeating that again over and over and just saying like, hey, Jesus came back to life again. Like, yeah, it's good news.
The greatest act of love and God's power of salvation has already been revealed. And so, what other good thing, good gift will God give to us? And
You just get to see the results of it be played out in your life.
yes, exactly. It's ongoing blessings.
Yeah.
So, yep. I appreciate it, Aaron. I did think these questions were kind of deep. So I appreciate you taking the time to share some of your thoughts with us
Thanks
tonight.
for listening,
Yeah.
Les. Thanks for having me. I always love being on Walnut Woman podcast.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll just end it here then.
All right. Good night,
Okay.
Les.
Good night.
Bye.